She cast him one last hateful glare, then turned and escaped into the night. Richard had known that the length of heavy chain attached to the collar around his neck wasn't long enough to allow him to get to her, but she hadn't known that, and so the threat had been convincing enough to scare her off. Even in the middle of the night, the vast army encampment into which she had vanished was ceaselessly busy. Like some great churning beast, it swallowed her up. While many of the soldiers were sleeping, others seemed always to be at work repairing gear, making weapons, cooking, eating, or engaged in drinking and raucous stories around fires as they passed the time waiting for their next opportunity at murder, rape, and plunder. All night long, it seemed, there were men testing their strength against one another, sometimes with muscle, sometimes with knives. Small crowds gathered from time to time to watch such contests and to bet on the outcome. Patrolling guards looking for any signs of serious trouble, soldiers looking for entertainment, and camp followers looking for a handout prowled the encampment throughout the night. Occasionally men wandered by to size up Richard and his fellow captives. Between gaps in the wagons, Richard could see some of the camp followers, hoping to earn food or even a small coin, going from group to group, offering to play a flute and sing for the men. Others offered to shave soldiers, wash and care for their clothes, or tattoo their flesh. A number of the shadowy figures, after brief negotiations, disappeared into tents with the men. Others wandered the camp looking to steal. And a few of those out in the night were intent on murder. In the center of it all, in a prison island created out of a ring of supply wagons, Richard lay chained with other captive men brought in to play in the Jala Dejin tournaments. Most of his team was made up of regular Imperial Order troops, but they were off sleeping in their own tents. Hardly a city ruled by the Order was without a Jala team. As children, these soldiers had played it almost from the time they could walk. They all expected that after the war was over, Jala would endure for them. To many of the soldiers of the Order, Jala Dejin, the game of life, was itself a matter of life and death, nearly equal to the cause of the Order. Even to a scrawny old woman who followed her emperor to war and lived off the scraps of his conquest, murder was an acceptable means of helping her favored team to victory. Having a winning Jala team was a source of great pride for an army division, just as it was for any city. Commander Karg, the officer responsible for Richard's team, was also intent on winning. A winning team could bring far more tangible benefits to those directly involved than mere glory. Those who ran the top teams became powerful men. Winning Jala players became heroes rewarded with riches of every sort, including legions of women eager to be with them. At night, Richard was chained to the wagons that held the cages that had transported him and the other captives. But in the games they had played along the way, he was the point man for their team, trusted to carry Commander Karg's ambitions to glory in the tournaments at Emperor Jagang's main encampment. Richard's life depended on how well he did his job. So far, he had rewarded Commander Karg's faith in him. Richard's choice from the first had been to either join Commander Karg's effort or be executed in the most gruesome manner possible. Richard, though, had had other reasons for volunteering. Those reasons were far more important to him than anything else. He glanced over and saw that John Rock, chained to the same transport wagon, lay on his back, sound asleep. The man, a miller by trade, was built like an oak tree. Unlike the point men of other teams, Richard insisted on endless practice whenever they were not on the move. Not everyone on his team liked it, but they followed his instructions. Even in their cage, as they had traveled to the Imperial Order's main force, Richard and John Rock analyzed how they could have done better, devised and memorized codes for plays, and did endless push-ups and other exercises to build their strength. Exhaustion had apparently overcome the noise and confusion of camp, and John Rock was sleeping as peacefully as a baby, unaware that their reputation had brought people out.